Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
In just a few words, the movie Office Space evokes the snarky pettiness of real-life office culture.
I gotta get out of here. I think I'm gonna lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
The quality of life in some offices does depend on a certain kind of bonding, and recruiters often defer to finding what's called a cultural fit. And that can include all kinds of informal characteristics like common hobbies or coming from the town of the hiring manager. But does such an approach end up only producing uniformity and miss people who would actually be good performers on the job? Michael Melcher is an executive coach and a partner in the firm Next Step Partners. Also with us is Lauren Rivera, an associate professor at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. She recently wrote about the fitting in culture for our partner, The New York Times. Lauren says true fitting in is different from merely demonstrating some chemistry with a job interviewer.
There is an advantage to picking people whose values and their personalities fit with the overall strategy of the firm. So, for example, Southwest Airlines is a great example of doing this well, that part of their business success is based on the fact that they offer this very wacky and fun and loving environment for customers. So in the job interview, if you were to not screen on people enjoying interacting with others and providing that fun and loving environment, you might end up with some very, very dissatisfied workers who might turn over faster, who may not perform as well, and so forth. But I think that in what happens in most organizations is, first of all, they don't have a strong idea of what their culture is. And we're stuck in an office together, and it's whatever the culture of the hiring manager happens to be or happens to think it is. So I think that when it's defined as a personal fit rather than an organizational fit, I think that's where you get into problems.
And if you go to Google, you can definitely, Michael, see a type. I mean, there's totally a type at Google. Either they've done this really, really well, or they've failed monstrously. I mean, only 20% of or 30% of the people at Google are women. So there's no diversity, it seems, in Google, even though it's a profoundly successful company.
Well, there are a lot of ways you can look at diversity. You can look at on demographics. I'm pretty sure that number has gone up at Google in the last few years through conscious effort. But you can also look at personality type diversity and different skills. So let's say that an organization or a company has a culture that's defined as being sociable and collaborative. How is that defined by the interviewer? Does it mean if I'm a talkative person that I want other talkative people around me? A person might be super collaborative and social and have a very different presenting style. But if I'm filtering by my own personality types, I'm just going to pick up people that are like myself.
You know, it's a little like how we approach politics sometimes in America, that, you know, you're choosing presidents based on who you want to have a beer with versus who's going to actually be good in a national security crisis.
Right. And the problem is that our ability to even figure out what those qualities are limited. So everybody has filters. We filter things in. We filter things out. That's what discrimination is operated by. Let's say you have a company that values love of technology and innovation. If a 55-year-old candidate talks about how he loved using punch cards on mainframes in the 70s and that's how technology got embedded in him, will the 26-year-old interviewer see that as, oh, we have a lot in common, or, oh, you're an old fogey and I have nothing to do with you?
To either of you, what about the value of just having fresh eyes in a company? I mean, if you're always looking at cultural fit, you're never looking for people who can evaluate the company's strategy in a fresh way. And that would seem to be a problem. Do you agree?
Yes, definitely. Especially for teams that deal with complicated problems, teams that have really important decisions, complex decisions, teams that are creativity and innovation are at the heart of what they do. Those fresh eyes are really important. It's one of the reasons why diversity can improve team performance. And it's diversity both, as Michael said, in terms of demographic and or cultural. Both of them have that effect.
What Lauren's article kind of reveals is that to maintain this requires conscious effort, because there is almost a natural tendency towards homogeneity. And so people who are managing interviews and managing opportunity within an organization need to have guidelines to make sure that people are actually screening appropriately and you don't just end up with groupthink. So in addition to being unfair, when you have a homogeneous workplace, it sets you up at a competitive disadvantage, and it may even mean that you're hiring the wrong people and they're going to blow up later, and then you'll have to hire new people at significant costs.
Well, bearing in mind that I'm just a white male, in his 50s, how do you conduct an interview with a candidate?
Well, research shows that almost the only interviews that really work are what are called behavioral interviews, where you identify specific competencies like leadership, statistical analysis, writing skills, what have you, and you ask every candidate the same questions. Tell me about a time that you showed leadership. Tell me about a time that you showed good statistical analysis. That works because you're drawing the same type of data and it's actually predictive of performance. The problem is that interviewers hate these and interviewees hate these as well. So everybody thinks that they're going to do better if they can just casually chat and create rapport. But the problem is they don't do better.
So charm is dangerous, Lauren.
Well, it's dangerous for companies. It's amazing for job candidates. But it comes down to more than charm. It's not only being able to be charismatic and social and socially skilled. It really does depend, this fit thing, on who you're paired with in an interview. The same person can go over like gravy with one and really have roadblocks with someone else who just has a different upbringing, biography. It's just hard to find things in common with. So that's one of the problems with fit, is it's so idiosyncratic when it's measured as personal fit as opposed to a more standardized and structured and behavioral-based measure of fit.
What would you advise candidates to do?
Well, what we advise candidates to do is figure out what the competencies are that they're looking for and then come up with good examples to illustrate those, and not to over-rely on your charm.
Cautionary tales about cultural fit and charm. Michael Melcher is an executive coach and a partner at the firm Next Step Partners. Lauren Rivera is an associate professor at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management. She wrote about fitting in culturally for our partner, the New York Times. Lauren and Michael, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fitting in with the office culture matters a lot to you, apparently. Olga Washington, if your boss doesn't understand you as a person, then it doesn't matter how hard or effective a worker you are, you still won't get the promotion or raise.
This is Andrea from Austin, Texas. Fitting in matters a lot. It's a big deal in small tech firms. Fitting in is focused on your ability to work together and get along. I definitely believe my job depends on it. It was a huge part of our hiring process.
From Houston, Texas, it's a huge part of job satisfaction. If you can't feel comfortable, it's hard to feel fully motivated if you don't feel connected to the rest of your team. Tell us your story at 877-8MYTAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by Citrix, creator of GoToMeeting, connecting people and businesses in face-to-face online meetings from any device. Featuring a personalized meeting room for a custom look. Learn more at gotomeeting.com. And LegalZoom, supporting small business owners across America for over 10 years. With services including business formations and corporate filings, plus independent professionals providing contract review and tax advice. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com.